Hey folks, Scott Weingart here, and this is an MCrit Wii. And let me put a disclaimer up front. There is nothing of any medical, clinical, or scientific value to anything in the following Wii. If you're looking for those things, you should just stop now, because they are not to be found here. What I need to discuss today are some non-medical things going on with MCrit. The first of which is something I never thought I'd be discussing in any way on the MCrit podcast, and that is politics. I am functionally apolitical. I extend the locus of my care pretty much to the same boundaries of the locus of my control. And since there's very little I could control in the realm of politics, generally I don't care. For anything to penetrate my carefully isolated world and actually be thrust in front of my eyes, it has to be of pretty huge import. Even if something did manage to penetrate my carefully crafted cocoon of isolation from the world of politics, the world of media, the world of news, I still wouldn't feel the need to comment on it. But for whatever reason, there has been this huge public demand expressed on Twitter, expressed in emails, for me to make a statement about the ridiculous politics going on in the U.S. right now. And since I really have no ambivalence about it, I'm happy to do so. Though, again, I really question whether MCrit's the venue for that, and I'm the person to be doing it. But people seem to want it, so who am I to say no? I abhor Trump. I abhor his politics. I find the so-called Muslim ban to be against everything I believe in. And I think all of academic medicine, all of academics in general, should band together and decry the ridiculousness of what is going on right now. And I guess the only reason I'm mentioning this is, aside from the people asking for it, is I think there might actually be a perception. There was a colleague made the statement that all American doctors must have voted for Trump because it's to their financial advantage to have done so. And that is just so divergent from the docs. I know that I might as well comment on that here as well. For folks that are not Americans and folks that are not familiar with the country that is America, you could basically extend Canada down the coasts of America, or at least the northern part of the eastern coast of America, and have a country that would be, I think, much more convergent in their views. And then just leave most of the rest of America to an entirely separate nation. And things would make a lot more sense. And you could look at the Trump voter patterns and have that borne out. Okay, I think I leave the politics there, unless people have any furthering things they need me to comment on in my ignorance. But let's move to something I do feel a bit more on solid ground to speak about, which is the internet and the world of social media. As of today, and it may change, I may backslide, I am divorcing, and I use that word very deliberately for any folks who have been following recent events in the phone world, I'm divorcing Twitter. Now, what does this mean? Am I getting off of Twitter? No. At MCrit will still remain, but it will be more of a venue for the show than any than as a venue for me personally. Now, this won't be any change that people will notice because I've never put myself in there personally, but I myself am pulling back from Twitter. Like I say, the things will pretty much look the same in terms of the feed. My stuff will be out there, PoemCrit stuff from Josh, and EM Nerd stuff from Rory, and all the other people that guest post for us. That'll all still be there, and I'll still be posting the articles and scientific things that I find interesting, but I'll be doing it behind the MCrit crew rather than my name personally. And I personally have never been a huge fan of Twitter, and I'm even less of a fan now, hence my personal divorce from it. And just to tell you folks, if you at mention MCrit, it will still eventually get to my eyes. I'm going to either be looking at those myself intermittently, or hopefully, preferably, having someone from the team screen those to see if there's anything that I need to address, and I'll address those through Twitter. So you can still hit me that way, but I'm pretty much out. Why? Well, there's been multiple reasons, and I'll just name a few of them that have been more egregious than the others, but there's been so much that the conglomeration, even if there was none that really stood out, would be enough to really make me get off. There was the debacle of calling out smack that's been perpetrated recently and look, if you're not following it, then don't even bother, because it's really, there's very little value in my mind to delving in. And if anyone wants to discuss this with me personally, I'm happy to do it. I'm always ready for a fight, but I'm not going to go into the details, because it would just expose a greater audience to things they shouldn't be exposed to. But suffice it to say that my opinion is that the SMAC conference is easily one of the best conferences out there, that the people on the organizing committee are, to a woman and man, really exemplars of everything I'd like the academic medicine world to consist of. And I think they were really called out unfairly with the recent allegations against them. And particularly, Raj, Ali, Chris, we got your back, my friends, because you just have put your heart and soul into making an extraordinary conference. And then for things that have been said to have been said recently, it's a travesty. Okay. So SMAC, one reason. Just put it on the radar. Didn't really knock me out of there. Recently, I did my MCRIT conference, the Resus NYC with Felipe Turan. And this year we went with a entirely female speakers list. And it was extraordinary. The event was co-sponsored with FeminEM. If you want to hear my reasons for why I did that, I'll put the intro to the conference that I had in the show notes, and you could watch if you want to know why we did an all-female speaker conference. But God, it was just an extraordinary event in every way. And then I had one of my fellows give a lecture there, and one of her first few slides that she had created was a meme with my picture with a shit-eating grin saying, "Hey girl, you want to speak at my conference?" Which I found to be embarrassing, because I don't like to have my picture anywhere, and I am shy, and I do not like to be called out. But she actually asked about it ahead of time, and I said, sure, go with it, because I had actual context for why the picture made sense, which speaks to the fact that if you're going to be on the internet, you should have some cultural literacy with the internet, as opposed to being culturally tone deaf when it comes to the internet. So anyone with any internet literacy would know that the picture, and you can find it at the show notes at mcrit.org, was a riff on the Ryan Gosling meme. We don't quite know where this meme started, but it's been fairly popular on the internet, to the point where there's been books written about it. Some of those books by feminists, they've made feminist Ryan Gosling, all sorts of stuff. But the idea is that Ryan Gosling would be the perfect boyfriend. And the memes all consist of really, I'm not even going to say what the memes consist of. Just go to the link in the show notes and you'll find like a billion Ryan Gosling, hey girl memes. But the point is, clearly this meme is not anti-woman, anti-feminist, and most of the current crop are written by women, as was the one that I am talking about here. And I thought it was kind of sweet, albeit embarrassing. And I think my perception of my fellow's intent was right in keeping with my fellow's actual intent. Being that the audience received it the same way at the actual conference, I think it was a fairly successful representation of what she was going for. But since someone posted it on Twitter in an incredibly innocent fashion, because that person was also aware of the Ryan Gosling meme, because that person had some degree of cultural literacy on the internet, that person didn't find it a problem to repost it. Now, of course, there were a host of people with a complete ignorance as to the internet that they are taking part on Twitter, and they felt the need to decry this posting to the point where I really was tempted to weigh in. But what I found is that feeding the trolls just makes the trolls more powerful, and I restrained myself. I don't know whether that was a good or bad choice. What I will say is I have some of the thread. There were multiple other threads there, but some of the thread on the show notes, and you could take a look and see the kind of conversation that erupts at the slightest intonation of something that these folks find offensive. But the problem is they have no context. They have no understanding of events. And as this case clearly demonstrates, a lot of times they really don't even understand what they're looking at. But that doesn't stop them from immediately acting. And this is a term that my friend Mike Beck taught me, and it's a great one. It's one of those terms that once you know it, you now have the power to identify something that was intangible before, to the point where, you know, I just keep coming back to the Sapper Whorf hypothesis that was embraced by movies like Arrival, in which the language itself just changes your brain. And this is just so perfect. And the term is social justice warrior. People on the internet who are fighting the good fight, and thank goodness for them. And it's just becoming more and more prevalent on Twitter to the point that I don't really want to be there anymore. Now, let's take it further. How'd we get to this point? Well, you could add in the folks now, and this maybe is just the natural course of, you know, as your follower numbers go up and up, you're just going to have, percentage-wise, just some people that are just bad apples. But there's been more and more folks that when you post something that is a clinical opinion or a clinical project, make statements close to or exactly worded as, "That is so stupid, I can't even begin to tell you the ways." Or, "I am so in disagreement of this that I don't even know where to start." And then they just leave it. They just stop there. Like, that's enough. And it is so antithetical to the way scientific conversations are supposed to happen that I don't know what to do with it. But that's become insanely prevalent. Now, the thing is, I don't know if these people are trolling or not. And I guess I should define terms here. Trolling on the internet means you deliberately say an incendiary remark in an attempt to generate controversy, in an attempt to get your jollies from watching the shitstorm that ensues from a comment you knew would create one. And then you just stand back and watch. And every so often, if it looks like the flames are dying down, you just spray a little bit more gasoline on. Now, in the past, it was easy to identify these kind of things because the people would make like farcical names for themselves and put silly pictures on. And they might even say in their description, this is a parody account. And I gotta say, I kind of have respect for those folks. They're not making any bones about it. But now, like, I'm finding it very hard to tell who is the parody and who is the real person, because the things that get said are just so not in keeping with what you'd ever say to another human being in person. Okay, so if you've listened to this point, then you've wasted 14 minutes of your life, but you've also hopefully understood why I am divorcing Twitter, at least for the time being. I would love to hear your comments. You know where to put them. No, not there. Put them on mcrit.org on the notes for this show. Scott Weingart from the MCrit podcast saying bye-bye.